Do you want to ride your bike, or do you want to learn how to train so you can really ride your bike?
It's all about building fitness. Get your legs spinning and get your heart pumping. It's not about training what you're good at. It's about training what you're not good at. They'll want to know what you've been doing for the last few months because you'll be kicking their ass. This is exactly how you get ahead. This is exactly how you get stronger. I'm giving you the tools you need to be a beast on two wheels.
To really adapt to a high-fat diet. Typically, you're looking at a period of between 1 to 2, maybe 1 to 3 months to properly adapt to a high-fat diet. So that is something to keep in mind in terms of adapting yourself to a high-fat diet, to see changes in muscular AMPK alpha 1 and 2, to see changes in, you know, 40-kilometer time trial capabilities, to see changes in power, to see changes in things like that. It's interesting if you extrapolate some of the biochemistry, whole body fat utilization and respiratory exchange ratio will change even at higher intensity levels. So you will burn more fat at those higher intensity levels. There is a glycogen sparing component of the of this kind of fat adapted diet. So you will actually be able to have more bullets in the chamber, so to speak, as you hit the end of a longer effort. Bear in mind, too, that your body has between 90 and 120 minutes of stored glycogen in it. Now, that is just plain stored glycogen from muscle tissue, from hepatocytes and liver tissue and things like that. Your average road race will only require you to spend about 15 to 20% of your time over threshold. So, if you are racing for about an hour or so, you can expect to spend maybe 10 minutes total over threshold. If you look at something like Golden Cheetah, if you put those race results or those power numbers into Golden Cheetah, you can see exactly how many calories you spent over critical power, how much time you spent in zone 5, 6, and 7. Here's a good example. A race that I did not too long ago was a 55-minute race. I spent approximately 30% of my time over threshold. So approximately 30% of the time was about 20 minutes. And that basically states that after those 20 minutes, I would be a little bit tired. I would need some sugar to really fill up my energy stores and really continue on. Don't forget that over critical power, basically you do not flip a switch and go from burning fat to burning carbohydrates. You will burn a variety of energy sources. You will burn creatine phosphate. You will burn endogenous muscle, muscular ATP. You will burn free fatty acids. That will continue up through higher intensity levels. It does not just become a switch. So that 90 to 120 minutes of carbohydrate, if I race for 55 minutes and I spend about 20 minutes or so above threshold, I still had approximately 60 to 70 minutes of carbohydrate available in my body. Now, as for being tired out, hard efforts and things like that, there is also some evidence that fatigue, it's good evidence also. There's some studies out there, if you care to Google, I'm not going to post every one of them because there's quite a few of them, that a lot of fatigue comes from the central governor, comes from muscular fatigue, comes from hydrogen ion balance in the intramuscular in the intramuscular fluid, and the cytosol of the actual cell or the cytoplasm of the cell. And that hydrogen ion clearance is something that is of major concern in terms of maintaining longer efforts. So don't forget that increase muscular acidity. I'm not talking about lactic acid. Lactic acid is not necessarily bad. I'm talking about hydrogen ion concentration. Hydrogen ion concentration tends to reduce the electrical activity of muscular contractions. It tends to interfere with the depolarization of motor neurons and therefore depolarization of motor units. It tends to also create a central fatigue in the central governor, which most science does not really yet understand. So we're just sort of scratching the surface on that. There are some studies out there that show that just swishing a carbohydrate drink around in your mouth can actually stimulate the central governor into sort of releasing its grip on that muscular fatigue, saying that you've got more fuel coming, you can feel free to continue on. There have been plenty of experiments about that. Whether or not that necessarily works in competition, I don't know. I tend to try things like that anyway, and even if it is a placebo effect, it seems to help a little bit, but not terribly much. So, take home here, yes, there is a 2% difference according to the study that I referenced last time. Yes, that 2% difference is within the margin of error, so it may or may not be true. I am looking not just in that study's context, I am looking at things in the context of the biochemistry involved. And along with other studies, and this is my own fault, I should have actually said this in the previous podcast, but I'm looking at this in terms of the context of other studies and other information out there about the cellular signaling, about AMPK alpha 1 and 2, about high-fat adaptation, the fact that a train-low and race-high daily regime is not the same as a fat-adapted regime. Truly, if you are going to eat a diet that is high carbohydrate, your body will run on high carbohydrates. Okay, if you eat mostly fat, your body will run on a diet that, run on fuel that is mostly fat. It will adapt to that. Fatigue during training, basically, does not necessarily mean you ran out of energy. It means, it can mean many, many things. It could be neural fatigue. It could be central governor fatigue. It could be hydrogen ion concentration. It could be creatine phosphate depletion. It could be all kinds of things. And there is a belief, of course, that fat cannot be burned as a predominant fuel. That has been, in fact, proven false by a number of studies with respiratory exchange ratios as we get closer to threshold and over threshold. And the big take home here is to be a smart scientist, to be a smart consumer. Read all the research out there before you blindly follow something. A lot of this pro-high carbohydrate diet, pro-high carb loading stuff has been driven by a lot of poor science and a belief that eating high fat will have long-term health issues, especially if you're an athlete. Let me tell you, folks, if you're eating mono and polyunsaturated fats, things like soybean oils and vegetable oils and hydrogenated oils, yes, you're going to end up blowing up your heart and your blood vessels, okay? But if you're eating a diet high in healthy fats, healthy saturated fats, grass-fed meats, grass-fed butter, grass-fed dairy, if you can tolerate it, then chances are you will not have a whole lot of problems. The cholesterol thing is basically a red herring. There's a lot of research coming out on that, and I will probably get into that into a future podcast. There's also going to be a whole lot of information coming out in my nutritional information when that actually comes out. That's going to be a little while down the pipe. I'm doing a lot of work on that, but it's going to be fairly extensive, and it's going to be a purchasable plan. And I will give you the heads up that it's not going to be your traditional high carbohydrate, this is what you need to eat diet. Okay, it's going to be a little bit more of an adapted, almost Paleolithic kind of diet. Yeah, go ahead and laugh at the Grok reference if you want to, but there are a lot of athletes out there that are doing a modified version of Paleolithic diet very, very successfully. So you can laugh at it as you want, but those CrossFit guys, even though they really like to rain down the pain on each other and themselves, they do have the nutritional part of that really built up well. The only problem they tend to have is that these guys are doing very, very high glycolytic activities, but they're not taking in enough carbohydrates to support that. So that's part of the reason you have that perception that those CrossFit guys are so sickly and so tired all the time, is they just are not taking in enough carbohydrate. Your body really cannot run without carbohydrates, so do not eliminate them. That's why the Atkins diet was really such a clusterfuck. Pardon the language, there goes my clean rating on iTunes. But it was a disaster because a high-protein diet was murder on your kidneys, and the high protein, high fat just left no carbohydrates for your body, and your brain and nervous system really do need them. They do need a certain percentage. You can run on ketones. Your nervous system and your brain basically do need about 25% carbohydrates, and the rest can be made out of ketone bodies. So little bits of tips there, some little bits of basic biochemistry. If you guys have questions, please feel free to email me at coachrobdc@gmail.com or hit me on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. I would love to discuss it with you and discuss it in a little more depth. And also keep an eye out for that nutrition program, which will be coming out. Again, I'm not entirely sure when it's going to be coming out, because it is a pretty substantial project. It's a pretty extensive project. It's going to include a lot of stuff from what to eat on a daily basis to make you a human machine in the office and in your daily life. It's going to include on-bike meals. It's going to include pre-race fueling tips. It's going to include some recovery and post-race tips as well. The biggest thing that I need to determine is how big this is going to be, especially if I'm including recipes and things like that in it. I may want to actually release this as an ebook, so I'm still not entirely sure about what the format of release is going to be, whether it's going to be a PDF or an ebook. But it is going to be shaping up to be a really substantial release. It's shaping up to be a really significantly large program, and it's going to be I'll give you guys a little bit of a early update on this of how I'm developing it at the moment. I'm developing it right now to be more of a freeform kind of nutrition plan. In other words, I'm not going to tell you on Monday you're going to eat this, on Tuesday you're going to eat this, on Wednesday you're going to eat this. My vision for this kind of plan is to give you options, is to give you an idea of what you should be eating on your off days, what you should be eating on your workout days, what you should be eating on your recovery days, what you should be eating if you want to lose weight, if you want to lose fat, if you want to gain muscle, if you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then basically give you a template to fill in those nutritional guidelines as you need to. Pull some of the recipes if you really wish to use them, or develop recipes of your own, or you know, visit resources that will have recipes that you could draw upon to, you know, basically eat that day, however you need to eat. It's a lot different than most of your traditional nutritional plans that are designed on a day-by-day-by-day basis, saying on Monday you're going to eat 2 eggs and some bacon and some toast for breakfast, and then for lunch you're going to have a salad with some chicken and a little bit of Italian dressing, and for dinner you're going to have some fish with lemon and capers and a little bit of vegetables on the side. For Tuesday you're going to have a bagel with some lox and some cream cheese, you know, that kind of thing. It's not going to be that type of thing. So there will be a lot of freedom involved. I find that, especially with my patients, people who are, you know, basically metabolically deranged and kind of sick, that they do very poorly on a diet that is very, very strict and regimented for them. They do much better when you give them freedom to make choices about what they want to eat on what day they want to eat it, when you give them options for things to eat instead of saying you have to eat chicken 4 days a week. You basically want to give them the ability to eat protein 4 days a week, whether it's chicken, whether it's tuna, you know, a good tuna steak, whether it's a grass-fed steak, whether it's a grass-fed burger, whether it's a, you know, I try to stay away from grains, but a lot of times people will choose something like seitan. Some people use tofu, which I hate tofu. It's, again, a soy-based product, and soy is not really good for you, but that is beside the point. So it's going to be a very, very free-form kind of nutritional plan. So it's something to keep in mind, and if you're looking to lose body fat, I can tell you, following that nutritional plan, I lost approximately 6% body fat and trimmed out about 12 pounds of non-lean tissue during my build-up to my racing season, really. So there is definitely something that works there. Bear in mind, it's a lot harder for women to lose weight than men. So there's going to be some tips in there for women to lose weight as well, keeping in mind some hormonal balancing things and things like that. There will be plenty of little tips and tricks in there, almost biohacks, if you will, for things that you can do to improve your performance and improve the way you feel on a daily basis and things like that. So that's the quick itty-bitty little preview of that. Keep an eye out for it and see what, you know, see when it comes out. Again, if you are interested in speaking about nutrition or biochemistry or anything else, I will be doing nutritional consults in the near future. I just need to work out the details of that. I need to work out some of the details of metabolic testing and lab testing if people want to go that route as well. So I'm trying to figure that out. So keep that in mind as well. If you want to discuss nutrition, please feel free to do so on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. Again, you can email me at coachrobdc@gmail.com and we can talk that way. I always appreciate the emails. I appreciate constructive criticism. I appreciate all kinds of things. So you know what? And if, let me tell you, I'm the scientist type where if you provide me with compelling research, in the contrary to what I'm talking about, I have no problem changing my opinions on things. I have, in the last 6 months, have made plenty of changes in terms of my beliefs of nutrition and biochemistry and things like that. And I've got to say that the results have been remarkable. And there are a number of people that I know that follow very similar diets and are having probably the best seasons of their lives, to be honest with you. So anyway, not for everybody, and it is a little bit of a different way of looking at things and a little bit different way of looking at nutrition, but keep it in mind for when you're looking for a reason why you feel like crap all the time and why you're tired all the time and why your performance has hit a plateau. So any questions, feel free to email me or hit me on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page, and I will be glad to answer them to the best of my ability. So again, thanks for listening to this little side podcast here. I had not intended to make it as long as I did, but just needed to cover a few more things. So I hope all of you are out there are riding strong, riding fit, riding happy. You're having a really, really great season thus far. You're keeping the rubber side down. You're keeping the shiny soft side up, and you're listening again and again. Again, please go ahead on over to iTunes, rate the podcast 5 stars if you like what you're hearing, and I will be talking to you all really, really soon.